Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
This morning I'll be reading from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and the earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear in their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated in the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I agreed to preach for Chrissy this morning, I did so before fully realizing our text for the day. When I saw that the scripture came from the book of Revelation, I almost backed down. But as I nervously read the selected passage in preparation for today, I found some unexpected solace and peace. There was something in the phrase, "I am making everything new," that grabbed hold of my heart and wouldn't let go. So later, as I sat on my screened-in porch and I looked around at the changing leaves showing off their fancy fall colors, I was reminded that God is still working in this world, even in ways I don't always notice. I'm thankful that I live in a state where I get to experience all four seasons. Each of them are small reminders that God is still working in this world. Fall brings us that blanket of colorful leaves. Winter brings us the wonder of snow. Spring is well known for its beautiful flowers. And summer brings us the warmth of sun by day and the twinkle of fireflies by night. When we pay attention, it's easy to see God's work in nature, but God's work isn't limited to that part of the world that we classify as nature. When I think about God working in this world, I'm reminded of the quote by Edmund McDonald that I read to you last Sunday when we hung a cradle cross from our pulpit, celebrating the birth of Marshall Abeni Brown. McDonald says that when God wants an important thing done in this world or wrong righted, God has a tiny baby born. So rather than thunderbolts and earthquakes, we get a baby. He says that the great events in this world are babies, for each child comes with the message that God is not yet discouraged with humanity, but is still expecting goodwill to become incarnate in each human life. So when I think about how each time new life is ushered into this world, we are reminded that God is still working. God hasn't stopped creating. God has not given up on this world. Still, it is fairly easy to see and to agree that when you hold a newborn baby in your arms, you can feel hope in the air. Every parent I know hopes for a better world for their child. God does the same for us, always working for a new and better future. When I look around at our world today and all of its chaos and division and brokenness, it gives me hope that God is holding us like a proud parent, hoping for a new and better future and working toward that new and better future for us and with us. On All Saints Day, I can't look forward to the future without looking backwards, and giving thanks to the many who have been on this journey toward a new and better future. It's always kind of made me do a double take to realize that my present was somebody else's future. Before me, there were so many others working alongside God to bring about what would be their future. But it's now my today, my right now. As Baptists, we don't codify saints in the way that our Catholic siblings do. But there have certainly been some saintly people in my life. And I'm sure you've had some saintly people in yours. I've thought a lot in the last few days about how I might personally define the term saint. And that's when I came across a social media post that mentioned the term holy currency, a term I had never heard before, but here's what Sarah Skinner had to say. She says, "Here in Western North Carolina, we come from diverse backgrounds and beliefs, but in these past few weeks have transformed us into people who look across the street and see neighbors needing food, shelter, or simply a shoulder to cry on. My mountain community is hurting, yes, but we're also more unified in our love, care, and mutual support than ever before. A beloved community is forming here in the mountains. A vision of togetherness and compassion where we care for one another despite our differences. Seeing our sweet little mountain towns in national news like this has been hard. But something beautiful is happening amidst the devastation, something worth sharing. The holy currencies are flowing. Holy currencies include not just money, but also time and place, gracious leadership, relationship, truth, wellness. Love is flowing here stronger than any flood. So for me, a saint is someone who shares those holy currencies well and often. I could name many who have done this for me, and I could call them by name. But I wonder who yours might be. Who have been the saints in your life, sharing their holy currency with you? Who's offered you time and place when you needed it most? Who are the gracious leaders who helped you become who you are today? What relationships have helped you see God in a new way? Who has spoken the truth that you needed to hear? Who has offered you wellness when you didn't even realize that you were hurting or broken? Who in your life has offered you the love of God here on earth? I hope that several people come to your mind as I read those questions. November is a time when we tend to make more time for thankfulness, so I challenge you to think of at least one of your saintly people. And I challenge you to write them a thank you note this week. There were note cards in the back. I hope you got one when you came in. If not, that's okay. You can get it when you go out. But this is your challenge. You might want to go ahead and write a name on that card and get it started. Some of the folks you might be thinking of already reside above with the saints in heaven. Write the card anyway. You'll be glad you did. If they are still here on earth, take the extra step. Mail it. Old school snail mail. Mail it. Don't stop with that note, though. Take every chance you get to offer your own holy currency more freely and more frequently. Because if we all did this, what a difference we could make in our world. And we might get closer to that dream that God has for all of us and for our world.